Good morning. This is Jerry Robbins. Usually I record my sermons in the church, but I made a mistake this morning. I forgot to hit the button. So I'm going to have a little bit more of an impersonal message for you, this morning as I'm just recording it in my office, more of a conversational format, which is probably a good break. But this morning we're going to read together 1 Corinthians 15, from verse 19 through 26. This is Easter, and I don't know about you, but death is all around us. It seems lately we hear more and more as we grow older about people who have cancer and they're going through chemotherapy. Every time you go to the doctor, it seems that there's something I've got to look out for, I've got to watch, because my body's decaying. No matter, I'm in good shape, I exercise, I try to eat right, but it's still there. Death is an enemy. So let's see what God's word says to us this morning about Christ's victory over death. In Scripture, it says the following: "If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in turn, Christ, the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. And then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father after he's destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he puts all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death." Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit will encourage our hearts this morning on Easter, because we are frail, children of dust. We have our fears about what the future will behold. So minister to us through your word today. Amen. We have all faced enemies at one time or another. I can think of my own life when I lived for a short while in Oak Park, Illinois. There were gangs, and you wanted to spend as much time as you can away from the gangs and avoid them because they could be mean. And part of the reason that I learned to run was avoiding the gangs. And in high school, we had students who were just mean, and they were constantly getting into fights, and you were scared they were going to look at you and try to beat you up. So what did you do? You tried to stay away. They were really your enemies. And do you realize, if you read the Psalms, for instance, David, even though he was the king of Israel, in Israel he had his enemies. And then there are nation states that create war and havoc in this world. We can think back to World War II with Japan and Germany. But today, there's a war going on with Russia, Ukraine, and there are terrorists who will take your life simply because you walk down the wrong street. All of us have enemies in one form or another. And it's been there throughout history. But one enemy we all face that you cannot escape, in which there is no neutrality, no peace treaty, no appeasement, the enemy called death. And whether you are rich or poor, you will have to face it. You will go to your funerals and you'll see the flowers. You will see the pictures of when the person who died was young, and we look into the casket and we say such things as, "Oh, they look so alive." But they're not. They're dead. They have lost to the great enemy of death, and we will all face our Waterloo until the Lord Jesus comes again. But despite the truth that death is in this world, there is also something greater, Jesus Christ. And in 1 Corinthians 15, we are reminded that the enemy that we all have has been defeated, death. Christ has conquered death. That's the good news of Easter. And in verse 26, what does it say? That the last enemy to be destroyed is death. Or you could paraphrase it this way. The last attacker to be destroyed is our mortality. The last assassin to be destroyed is our oblivion. Christ came into this world to do the Father's will, and in the final moments of his existence in this world, he overcame death. So let's look and see what Paul is going to say to us about some of the details of this. Now, there are some out there who are really the enemies of Christ, and they believe that Christians are a pitiful lot. You see that in verse 19. Now, Paul is putting up a hypothetical argument here, but I could also see that there are a lot of unfriendly people towards Christianity who would mock us with such words. They'd say, well, you only have hope in this life. You Christians, you don't really believe you're going to overcome death. Now, Jesus, he may have been a good man, but he was just like so many other good men. Before Jesus, there were Jewish martyrs who died. John the Baptist died. Buddha died. Muhammad died. These all died, but there was no resurrection. Perhaps you think he really was just a good man, but good men die. Leo Durocher, the manager of the Chicago Cubs, used to say, nice guys finish last. But also, nice guys also die. And if that is the case, then as verse 32 says, we should just go on and eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Why? Because death is the enemy, the final enemy. It haunts us. The real terrorist is death because of what it means for you and I. It means that our life is one of frustration. The fear of all of our hopes will vanish. And it is also a problem because we're still in our sin if Christ did not rise from the grave. We're pitiful. And that's what verse 17 says. It tells us, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You're still in your sins. Religion is nothing more than a little Tylenol or a Band-Aid that you put on the pain of your soul. One of the questions that counselors sometimes ask a person is to write an obituary for yourself. What do you want people to say about you? And people will say such things. I want them to think that I'm a loving person. I'm a giving person. They want to think about what they've done that has been good and positive. But according to the Bible, goodness doesn't get you eternal life. Goodness doesn't merit salvation. If you think your goodness is going to get you eternal life, you're really swimming in a sea with a weighted vest. It won't do it because all of us have sinned. We had to have one person who was righteous and who fought death and won. And so many people might criticize us today for our belief in the resurrection of the dead. But let me tell you, the critics have a problem too. Those who say such things have no hope either. Well, what do they think is going to happen when you die? You could be have the view of a Lion King where you join the circle of life, but I'm not really sure what the circle of life is. I don't know what hope that gives me. Is it a mere biological process where we simply become part of the ground? We become worms, food? That doesn't help me at all. It doesn't help me to have hope. In fact, it is a tragedy then, because all that I strive for is nothing. It's vain. But here's where the good news of the gospel comes in. Christ rose from the grave. If you go through the book of Acts, in the preaching of the apostles, you will see that there was a great emphasis on the death of Jesus Christ, but there was also an equally great emphasis on his resurrection. And if you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in verses 3 through 9, look at what it says. Look at how it testifies to the historical witness. It wasn't just a personal experience of Paul. No, there were a number of people who experienced this. The Bible says, "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and then he appeared to Cephas, and then to the 12. And after that, he appeared to more than 500 of our brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living." Do you see what Paul is pointing to? There were a number of people that saw the resurrected Lord Jesus. He points to the fact of it, that Christ defeated death. Years ago, there was a news article in the magazine Newsweek, and they were looking at the resurrection. I think it was the Easter edition. And here's what the scholarly community concluded. Something happened back then. Something happened which caused these early Christians to go out and literally change the world. Well, I can tell you what it is. It was the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The power of God was at work over our enemy. And look and see what else the Bible says here about Jesus, which helps us to understand what we face. It says Jesus is the first fruits. You see that in verse 20 and verse 23. The idea is an agricultural idea, and it goes back to the Old Testament. The first fruit was the first part of the crop, and it usually had the highest value. It also points out the blessing of a future harvest that is to come. It's like the first edition of the book. You've got the first edition, but there are other editions that are going to come. In the same way, Jesus Christ is the first fruit, and there's going to be more resurrections to come. Now, some may have an objection at this point. Well, if people rose from the dead, why can't I see it now? I go to funerals all the time. I don't see anybody who's resurrected from the dead. They all just lie in the grave. They're in the corpse. They're corpses that lie in a coffin. But I want you to see what verse 23 says here. It gives us a time frame. But each in turn, Christ the first fruits, and when he comes, those who belong to him, then the end will come. What it is telling us here, there's a timetable. And the timetable is that first, you're going to have Jesus Christ who will rise from the grave. But in between his first and second coming, there's not going to be any more resurrections. But when Jesus comes back, the rest will rise from the grave. And you see the same thing in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 14 through 15. "For we believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep." What it's telling us is that you're going to have the second coming, and soul and body will be reunited, but it will be on God's plan and God's timetable. That's why you don't see it. It doesn't mean death is not defeated. Death is defeated. But we're going to see the fruition of that when he comes again. And let's remember here, the passage is clear. Jesus brings life and defeats death. In verses 21 and 22, Adam brought death. Jesus brings life. And here's why this is so important. The enemy that we all fear, terrorist we all fear, is death. But death has been swallowed up by the death of Jesus. The grace of Jesus is going to cause us to be reunited, body and soul. It's not just a spiritual resurrection, body and soul. We're going to become more fully human than we ever have been. And later on, it tells us that our body is going to be glorified like Jesus's body. And that will be wonderful because there will be no more chemo, no more cancer, no more dementia. All that will be done away with once and for all. And I don't know exactly what these bodies of ours will be like. Probably whatever we are like in our prime, but even better than that, because they're going to be glorious bodies, just like Jesus, and we'll recognize one another, just as the disciples knew Jesus, who rose from the grave. And the good news of the gospel for Easter is, Jesus Christ is risen. And that's good news for you, because death for us is nothing more than a shadow. And we will one day rise from the grave. We may die as the last vestiges of the curse, but we're going to be with Jesus in heaven. And then one day, our bodies will rise from the grave and we'll be with him. We will rise again. We have eternal life. What is that Bible verse that we all memorized in Sunday school? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Death has been defeated. Death no longer reigns. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. Oh, think of what that will be. When we arise, no more bodies that ache from age, joints that no longer hurt, no more chemo, no more cavities, no more cancer, doctors out of business, hospitals no longer needed, they're closed. No more funerals to go to. Funeral homes closed forever. Now, at funerals we go and say, oh, they like look so alive. But in the new heavens and the new earth, we'll be living. Living in a way that's hard for us to imagine today. Where colors will be more vivid and smells will be more delightful. And bodies that really do run and not get tired. What does Paul say, which we need to repeat to ourselves over and over again as we face this age with all of its problems? Oh, death, where is the sting? Oh, grave, where is the victory? Oh, death, where is the sting? Oh, grave, where is the victory? Oh, death, where is the sting? Oh, grave, where is the victory? Christian, you don't need a bucket list. You don't need to dive out of airplanes when you're 89 years old. If you can't go to the Hawaii or some part of the world before you die, it doesn't matter. Because in the new heavens and the new earth, it will be greater, more beautiful, more glorious than anything. And as Christians, what we've got to do is focus more on the good that is to come, because the best is yet to come. That's what we have to look forward to, because death, our final enemy, has truly been defeated. John Donne was an English poet. And let me read you what he wrote. One short sleep passed, we wake eternal. And death shall be no more. Death, thou shalt die. And I would add on, praise the Lord, we live. Our Heavenly Father, it's Resurrection Sunday. Help us, Holy Spirit, to focus on the Word which says Jesus rose, and one day we will rise and have glorified bodies with no more pain, no more sorrow, no more tears. And as we go through this year, and we will go to more funerals, more hospital visits, trips to hospice centers, help us to see the truth. These are but shadows. The gloriousness of Christ and of his followers is yet to come. Amen.